Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This program comes to you every week at this time, and I am Pastor Schulze. My topic today is Beware of Shortcuts. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for the divine anointing of the Spirit of God on the exposition of thy sacred word. Before I get into the message, I want to share with you that if you have internet service, you want to have paper and pencil ready, because at the end of this program, if we have time, I'll give you my website address so you can get some more help on the things of God. Now, our text is from Exodus 13. It says, "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." Now, two matters I want to bring before you this day. Number one, God seldom uses shortcuts. And number two, immediately after our rebirth, God does indeed want to lead us. So first, God is not a God of shortcuts. In Exodus 13, we have a nation just born and delivered from bondage. Prior to this, Israel was a slave to Egypt, laboring hard under the cruel yoke of Pharaoh from sunrise to sunset, 7 days a week. When Israel came out of Egypt, she was exhausted, famished physically and spiritually. She was in her diaper stage, spiritually speaking, and totally inexperienced for war. This describes the spiritual state of man just after the rebirth. Immediately after conversion, most new converts have never read the Bible, have never heard a sermon, and have never fought a spiritual battle. And if they had heard a sermon or read the scriptures, they had not understood it, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So there is a natural man, there is a carnal man, and there is a spiritual man. And here in the Old Testament, three geographical areas Israel experienced correspond to these three states of man: the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual. Egypt represents the natural. It represents life under the bondage of sin. The wilderness represents the carnal. Israel had to pass through this, and it represents a period of testing and preparation. And Canaan represents the spiritual, where Israel was destined to go and live, representing the Spirit-filled, victorious Christian life. So here at Exodus 13, God already shows us in typology and shadows the three stages man would experience in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, which began with the day of Pentecost. Hence, after Israel was born of God through the Passover, which represents conversion by the blood of Christ, immediately God wanted to lead his people. God wants to lead all of his newborn children from the start, every one of us. We also learn from this that as soon as we are born again, we are on a battlefield we've never been on before. And in the Christian dispensation, we no longer battle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and wickedness in high places. Now, there's something very important we learn here in the birth of Israel that carries over into our spiritual lives, and that is we are born too weak and unseasoned to get into battles reserved for seasoned saints only. Our text says that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. We know that God is omnipotent, but we have to realize we are not. God had no trouble going through the land of the Philistines, but God knew that young Israel, because of her weakness in faith, had she been thrown into this battle, would have become so discouraged by the battle as to return to Egypt. Here God gave notice to all Christians, especially to newborn ones, to beware of shortcuts to the promised land. Now, if God gives you a shortcut, he will be with you. But seldom will God ever choose a shortcut, because generally speaking, shortcuts are death traps. Oh, how many thousands of newborn Christians are lost to the church each year because they want to get to the promised land of the spiritual life via shortcuts. They immediately want to take on the Philistines. Directly after conversion, they want to cast out devils, heal the sick, go to the mission field, get into the pulpit, lead Bible studies, and go on to all the spiritual gifts. They want power to do things and become somebody, rather than realizing that before the power is given, God has an apprenticeship program for everyone. Yes, my friend, God wants to do something with you and through you, but do not think for a moment that you can get there by shortcuts. We do not know our hearts. We do not know our weaknesses. We do not know our frame. David says that only God knows our frame. Only God knows who we are. Do not let spiritual ambition, my friend, and enthusiasm take you away from the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night in order to fight the Philistines. God delayed Israel's battle with the Philistines because Israel was yet too weak for such warfare at that time. She was weak because she was spiritually undernourished and immature. She was too weak because she still had too much of Egypt, that's called carnality, in her heart, and because she was yet untested and untried. Israel needed to be tested. People who have murmuring hearts, critical spirits, and hurt feelings are no match for the Philistines, and they had all of that. So God tested Israel at the Red Sea, at Marah and Rephidim. Israel needed to see what was still in her heart. She needed to come to the place of utter despair to learn utter dependence upon God for his wonderful mercies. So this is what God tried to teach her in the wilderness. Israel needed a wilderness experience. So God has the wilderness for all of us. The Holy Spirit even took Jesus into the wilderness to be tested and tried so that he might learn to triumph there before he would triumph anywhere else. But the Lord does not mean for us to remain forever in the wilderness. We are there only long enough to prepare us for Canaan land. Those who will not receive God's tests and trials often end up living and dying in the wilderness, just like Israel's older generation who did not believe and obey God. Many want to take on the Philistines without having been found faithful in the wilderness, without having Egypt, that's the old man, slain out of them in that wilderness. Oh, you think you are ready for the Spirit, for life, for that ministry to do great things? Well, let me ask you, have you paid your bills? Husband, have you learned to love your wife as Christ loves the church? Wife, have you learned to submit to your husband as unto the Lord? Is there forbearing and sweetness in your home? Are the children disciplined in the love of Christ, or do you through them have rebellion in your home? Do you tithe and put offerings in the offering plate at church? Do you keep your promises to your pastor and all others? Can the church count on you, or are you in and out and here and there and confusing your impulses with the leading of the Holy Spirit? Do you have a servant spirit? Do you take correction and rebuke without being offended? Do you still jest and joke? Do you criticize? Do you judge and analyze your Christian brothers and sisters? Do you hold bitterness and resentment in your heart? Are you faithful in your prayer life? Ah, oh, my friend, if the answer is negative to any one of these, you are neither ready for the Philistines nor for the promised land. Had Jesus failed in one of these areas, God would not have endued him with power from on high to begin his ministry. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. What a text. God is not a God of shortcuts. Carnality likes shortcuts. Carnality always looks for shortcuts. But spirituality knows that God knows best. Now, secondly, God wants to lead us. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night before the people. And Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So when does God want to begin to lead the new convert? The answer is immediately. God began leading Israel even before she had crossed the Red Sea, which symbolizes her baptism. Now then, what was the first leading of God for Israel after the baptism? The first leading was a no. Don't go to the land of the Philistines. Don't take the shortcut. God's first leading through the Holy Spirit for newborn lambs will be many no's. Don't go back to the movie theater. Don't turn on this television program again. Don't continue in this boy-girl relationship that the Lord has not started. So if we are not faithful to the no's, we will not come to the yes's. If we override the red lights, we might be maimed or killed. The Philistines will get us, and we will end up back in Egypt, where we shall die in the mud as slaves to sin. But if we obey the no's, we shall get some yes's. And if we obey the yes's, the Lord will begin to reveal His marvelous secrets of the kingdom of God to us. He will begin to speak to us, to instruct us, to direct us. Hallelujah. So I believe Israel, after she had seen the 10 mighty plagues God brought about in Egypt, was full of enthusiasm to take on the Philistines. Her attitude may have been, since God could defeat the mighty empire nation of Egypt, He certainly can destroy this little camp of the Philistines. That was human logic, progressive human thinking, and faith in reason. Yet it was not faith in God. Oh, how often do we take faith in sound reason to be faith in God? And off we run to do this and that without checking with mature, battle-scarred saints of God. Is this really God's will or not? Is this really coming out of my head as impulse or my imagination? Or is it really of the Holy Spirit? So, dear ones, where are you? Are you still in Egypt, unsaved? Are you fighting battles the Lord has not led you into? Are you in the mission field or some pulpit out of sheer enthusiasm without the cloud and the pillar? Are you still in the wilderness after 2, 10, or 20 years, murmuring, complaining, carnal, and unsanctified? Or are you in the land of Canaan, driving out the Philistines in the power and under the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit? Do you like shortcuts? Well, think twice before you take one. Now, dear ones, before I close with this program, let me give you my website address. So if you want to have more spiritual help, you can contact my website. And here it is, www.schulze.org. So www.schulze, Schulze is spelled S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E. .org. Let me give that to you again. The website address is www.schulze, that's S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E.org. Now let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for helping us today and considering the ways of the Lord, the precious ways of the kingdom of God. Deliver us from ourselves and help us to surrender ourselves entirely to Thee, that we might live the Canaan life every day that's ahead of us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time, the same station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.